time is.
It's Pastor Adam's podcast.
Oh, hello. Good day, my friends. I hope all is well with you. It's not for me. I'm in some pain today and for the past week. So allow me for the next few minutes to air my grievances and misery to you all. We'll get through this together. I somehow hurt my back out of nowhere about a week ago from Sunday, doing nothing at all. In the past, when I've hurt my back, I've had some sort of excuse, an event to point to. I deadlifted in the gym like an idiot with terrible form, and it got me. Or I fell up the stairs, not paying attention. Things like that. Those types of things. But since my shoulder surgery that I had, when I do go to the gym and I work out, which I've been doing a lot and making some gains, right? I am very careful. I make sure I'm using good form. When I feel like I'm pushing it maybe a little too hard, I back off. I'm very cautious. And the reason for that is surgery, it sucks. It's not fun. I don't want any more surgeries. And I don't want to have to put everything on hold again to get some other sort of procedure. You know what I'm saying? It's just nobody wants that in their life. I definitely don't. I'm done with surgeries. I don't like them. So this latest situation, this latest injury, it's pretty frustrating. Because, like I said, there's no event to point to where I can see some sort of mistake that I made, which I can avoid in the future. But what makes this back injury worse is that it feels way different than it has in the past. The pain radiates down the front of my left leg into my thigh. I believe it's called, I'll pop it up here, the muscle's called the tensor fascia latae. It's like a latte, except for no coffee. I don't know. But anyway, the pain stems from the lower back and runs into the leg, making it feel like, you know, my muscles ripping apart. Like, it literally feels like that sometimes. It's not good at all. I don't like it. Don't like it at all. Also, in the past, with the back injury pain stuff, I can find a position to sit or lay in where I can, you know, feel all right. But in this case, that's can't find that position. I have times where I can't get comfortable no matter what I do, and I am in misery. Also, previous back pain instances, like from the onset of that injury on for the next few weeks, the pain is there, but it slowly dissipates. Eventually, you know, it lessens day by day. This back pain is just ramping up day by day. Each day, sucking more of the life out of me. It's not fun. I don't like it. So, yesterday, I went to the chiropractor, and she didn't really do much because she didn't want to hurt me anymore. But she believes it has to do with something with my pars defect that we found out probably like a month or month more. That is, small fracture in the small part of the bone in the vertebrae that connects the two vertebrae. And then I went to the doctor today, and he agreed with that diagnosis, that he thinks that's probably, and he says he thinks I'm dealing with spondylosis, something like that. It's a condition where the vertebrae from that pars fracture slips forward over the other one, and then all the nerves are in there. It's fun stuff. It's good stuff. So what he did for me today is gave me some muscle relaxers and some anti-inflammatory meds to hopefully calm things down. But what's crazy about all that is I'm not a guy who likes to take medication. I don't use painkillers. For my most recent shoulder surgery, they were like, you're going to need it. And I go, I don't want it. I didn't even want them to prescribe it, but they did anyways. I didn't take one. But this back pain, I was like, listen, doc, you need to give me some muscle relaxers now, like something immediately. Even at Walmart, waiting in the line to pick up the prescription at the pharmacy, I was like, let's move this thing along. I got drugs to take, people. Let's go. Also, there was two very rude people picking up prescriptions but also checking out their entire cart of groceries, you know, for the week. And I'm like, are you for real right now? Are you serious? Like, is this a joke? Everyone knows that you get your prescriptions, then you go do your grocery shopping. Everyone knows that. It's not just me. You know that. That's the polite thing to do. Maybe you have an item or two from the pharmacy area. You know, we're talking about vitamins, maybe some shampoo or contact solution, something like that. You get it. That would be acceptable. But a week's worth of groceries checking out at the pharmacy? No, ma'am. That's disrespectful. That's entitled behavior. Entitled, I tell you. I didn't like it. But back to me and my back issues. So anyways, I get the drugs, I go home, I eat, take the pills, because, you know, you need food in the stomach for it, all that. About an hour and a half later, I got some relief. That's where I'm at right now. That's why I decided to do this right now. I'm not feeling like I want to jump out of my skin. Pain's not gone, no, but it's a lot better. Leg pain has lessened a lot, but still considerable back pain going on. But at least I can relax a little better and hopefully get some sleep tonight. My sleep the past week has been atrocious. So the advice from the doctor was to take the meds, rest, and if the back and leg is still, you know, hurting 2 weeks from now, then we do an MRI and then physical therapy. And initially I'm like, look, doc, I can't do 2 weeks of this. This is, I can't do it. But what else am I going to do, right? So here's where we are. So this all leads me to the devotional today. And what better time to talk about having faith in the midst of pain than right now, right? Right. So what we're going to do is talk about, we're going to start reading from 2 Corinthians. Because when I think about dealing with pain, I always immediately think of Paul. And what I'm going to do is just read this one bit of scripture from 2 Corinthians. We break it down verse by verse. So here we go. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So suffering and pain, those are universal experiences in life. We all have or will experience suffering and pain. Some more than others, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual, we'll all encounter some sort of moment in our life of hardship that challenges our faith and our endurance. And I feel pretty confident in saying that. All of us, that's pretty solid, right? In these times, it's easy to feel isolated and ask, you know, like, why is this happening to me? We might even wonder, is God truly with me in this time? Is he with us? The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, provides, you know, a powerful example of how to respond to suffering. And he writes about the thorn in his flesh, a persistent pain or affliction that God did not remove despite Paul's passionate prayers. And through Paul's experience, we can learn how to endure suffering with faith, understanding, and a deeper reliance on God. And by the way, before I go further, I'm not putting myself on the same level as Paul here or whatever he had going on. I mean, outside of whatever that thing is, that thorn in his flesh, he had it way worse than I ever did, and I ever do. I mean, it's close, but just kidding. I'm not. But we are talking about pain and suffering. I am suffering. I'll tell you that. Okay, so what do I do? What should I do when I have pain? What should we all do when we have pain? Well, number one, we should embrace the reality of pain. And I know you must be like, yeah, feels pretty real. Reality is set in. This sucks. I know how it feels. Trust me. It's no fun being in pain. No one's like, wow, this pain is amazing. This is great. I've experienced discomfort in my leg, like in your, and when you rub it, it hurts, but it feels good. And you're like, it hurts so good. You feel like you're John Mellencamp singing about it. But nobody really likes pain, right? So let's go back to the scripture real quick. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming seated, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. The first point we have to acknowledge is that the pain and suffering is part of human experience. And in fact, even Paul, you know, who was a tireless worker for the kingdom of God, faced physical torment. The thorn in his flesh that Paul speaks of is likely a chronic affliction, something that he had to live with for an extended period of time. And we don't exactly know what that was, but the fact that Paul refers to it as a messenger of Satan indicates that it was something that deeply troubled him. I am not at the point with my back that I could call it a messenger of Satan. I feel like when you call something that you, some pain that you're dealing with, a messenger of Satan, it's serious. Like, for instance, I could say at one time in my life, I had spinal meningitis, and I had, what's it called? Encephalitis, I think it is, where your brain swells. And I was in so much, my head, the doctor could have said, we're going to cut your head off. I'd be like, you got to do what you got to do. Take it. We need to end this. That was a messenger of Satan to me. That's the one time where I was like, this is the worst. But enough about that. Many people, when faced with ongoing pain, they try to deny it or push through it without acknowledging the toll that it takes on their lives. But Paul teaches us that it's important to confront our pain, and it's okay to admit that we're suffering. And trust me, my wife and my daughter, they make sure to let me know when they're suffering and they're not feeling well. But I try to just sort of push through it and do what I gotta do. I try not to complain that much. What we should do, though, is this. The first step in enduring physical pain is to recognize that it's real and it has an impact on us. It's easy to think that being a Christian means that we should have an easy life, but scripture tells us otherwise. Jesus himself promised that in this world we'd face tribulation. Paul's thorn in his flesh serves as a reminder that even the most faithful among us experiences pain. So when we admit the reality of our suffering, then we can begin to invite God into that space of vulnerability, asking for his grace and strength and to help us endure. And this is the first step towards finding peace in the midst of the pain, acknowledging it without shame and trusting that God understands, because he does. So you may be thinking, you just said acknowledge the pain as a reality to God for strength to endure it, right? Why can't he just take it away? Instead of asking for endurance, can't I ask for healing? And I'm glad you asked that. Of course we can ask for healing. And I'm sure most of us do that right away when we start feeling pain. That's why my second point is, number two, it's okay to ask God for relief. 2 Corinthians 12:8 said, 3 times I pled with the Lord to take it away from me. Paul's words are a clear reminder that it's perfectly acceptable to ask God for relief from our suffering. He didn't just passively accept his affliction, but he actively sought out God's intervention. He pleaded with God 3 times, and that's an indication that it wasn't a light request, but a heartfelt, desperate cry for help. In our own pain, we're often quick to apologize for bothering God with our suffering, thinking that our pain is too trivial, that we shouldn't complain about it. However, God invites us to come to him with our burdens. And that was in Matthew 11:28. But I was thinking about that last night. I was praying, having my own personal prayer time before I went to bed. And I asked for healing, you know, relief from the pain. But then at that same time, as I'm praying, I'm thinking about these other people that have it way worse than me. There's a student at my old church that I used to be a leader for. He's going through cancer treatment, and it's not good. Like, he's got an aggressive, terrible one, right? I see people that can't walk right. I see people who are blind. I see people who are, you know, like, just going through things that are worse than what I got, than my hurt back and leg, right? And I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be praying for this. Like, you know what? And then I start going, you know, God, if I get it, if it's, you need to take care of them, take care of them. I'll deal with this, that kind of thing. And then you start thinking, am I being selfish asking for healing? I mean, I don't have as bad as these other people. But then I have to remind myself, God's not offended by our requests for healing. for relief, for comfort, just as loving parents desire to comfort their children. God's eager to hear our cries, and he responds with compassion. And I think about the pain that I'm in, right? If I'm just like writhing on the ground or trying to find some way to get comfortable, and then like one of my kids came up to me and said that they're hurting and they need my help, of course I want them to feel better and I'm going to take care of them. It's not going to be like, no, that's not a good enough pain that for me to take care of you. Now that sounds cruel. And I know that our God is not cruel and he's the better parent than I am. So why would he do that? So just, it's okay to ask for forgiveness. And it's also not a lack of faith to ask God for healing. In fact, it shows that we trust him enough to believe that he can heal us. And he has that power to change our circumstances. But sometimes, just like Paul, God may not immediately take away the pain. But even so, the act of asking draws us closer to him and strengthens our trust in him and his plan. But I also think this, when reading that scripture that he asked God three times for, you know, him to take away the thorn in his flesh, I was like, I've asked way more than three times. Like, I don't know if Paul's prayers just happened like that. And now he's like, I'm going to ask you three times. And if I don't get it by the third, I guess the answer is no. Like, I don't know. I've been praying every single day for probably about 10 days. And I'm going to continue to do it. Anyways, number three, we have to trust God's answer. My grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. God's response to Paul's pleading was not what he expected or what he wanted. Instead of offering immediate relief, God gave him something far more profound, and that is grace. God's answer to suffering is not always to remove it, even though that's what we want, but to equip us with his grace to endure. The Lord told Paul that his grace would be sufficient. So what does this mean? It means that God's grace, his love, his favor, and his presence, and his empowering spirit is enough to sustain us in our suffering. When we're weak, when we're physically drained and emotionally spent, God's grace is still there to uphold us. In fact, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. This paradoxical truth, which is, you know, a fancy word for self-contradictory, you know, teaches us that our vulnerability becomes the space where God's strength is most visible and powerful. God's grace is not just about spiritual comfort or emotional peace. It's the actual strength and power we need to continue, even when we feel like, you know, we can't. It's the ability to press forward, not in our own strength, but in the strength that God supplies. And while we may want the immediate relief, we can trust that God's grace is enough to get us through it. So if that's the case, then number four, we have to rejoice in weakness and gain a new perspective on pain. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This final point is maybe the most difficult to understand. Paul says that he actually rejoices in his weaknesses and in the insults and hardships and persecutions and calamities. Why? Because he knows that these are the very places that God's power is most, you know, evident. In our suffering, we are reminded not that we aren't in control, that we can't fix everything on our own, but that we can rely on God's strength to carry us through. And this shift in perspective allows us to boast not in our ability to endure, but the fact that Christ's power rests upon us when we are weak. We have to embrace our limitations, then we can open ourselves up to God's transformative power. This doesn't mean that we enjoy the pain, no one does, but it does mean that we understand that God can use the most difficult circumstances to shape us and draw us closer to him. So as we go through physical pain, we can choose to trust God is using this experience for his glory. Our suffering is not in vain. It's an opportunity for God to demonstrate his power in and through us. By choosing to rely on God in our weakness, we can find strength in places we never expected. So the last point for today, you know, dealing with the pain and suffering and all that, is apply God's truth to our lives today. As we read that scripture and reflect on Paul's message in 2 Corinthians 12, we're invited to walk through our own suffering with faith and trust in God's sufficiency. Pain, in whatever form comes, it's not the end of our story. Just as God met Paul in his suffering, he's with us, offering his grace and power to help us endure. We don't have to face the pain alone. God is with us, and his grace is enough to sustain us. So whether you're in the midst of chronic pain, recovering from an injury, or enduring another physical struggle, then take heart and trust that God is using the season to refine you. Ask him for relief, but also embrace his grace, knowing that in your weakness, you are being made strong through his power. And also remember, even in the midst of pain, we can find some sort of joy and some strength in God's grace. And he doesn't promise to remove the suffering, but he does promise to sustain us through it. When we are weak, he is strong. So that's what I have. I could use your prayers too for healing. That'd be nice. You have a good one, and I'll see you next Wednesday.